Hey everybody, we are live at the Antlers. It's a Monday night again. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, and the Lakers coming off a couple of tough defeats up in Alaska, in Fairbanks to be precise. And I wasn't able to listen to those games. I was downstate on the weekend, Damon, but I kept watching, checking it period by period and play by play, and it was a tough couple of losses. We've suffered a lot of those this year. It just seems like sometimes we cannot buy a goal and the other team squeaks out a 2-1 victory and then a 3-1 win with a empty net goal. Those are two tough defeats to take when you go all the way up there to play them.
Yeah, well, I think probably the best way to describe it is missed opportunity and disappointment for sure. I think the way we're playing defensively and the way Gordy's playing in net, you know, we feel like we have a chance to beat anybody and take points anywhere. So definitely missed opportunity. And, you know, once again, around the league, we got help with the other teams, the teams we're fighting for. So, you know, going into Saturday night, you can't help but look at the standings a little bit and then think what a point or two does for you and some separation and put you ahead of some teams. And then if you can take care of things moving forward, we finally have some home games again. You know, we can really get ourselves in a really good spot in the stretch run. So missed opportunity, disappointment, and, you know, really, you know, a big story was, let's look at our last 10 games. We got 16 goals. And I got a lot of other stats in our last 10 games, but averaging 1.6 goals a game, I mean, that's tough. You can't outscore your mistakes, and, you know, our margin of error went so slim and so narrow. So a disappointing result, some good things that went on as well, but certainly the results were not what we needed.
Well, let's talk about the trip itself to start it off tonight. A lot of folks want to know what time you got back, how long it took, all this. Anytime you go to Alaska, it becomes a grueling road trip, and it is tough. You leave Sault Ste. Marie, you got to drive to Detroit, get on a plane, fly to Seattle, go up to Anchorage, and then on to Fairbanks, and you reverse that coming out. And I've done it a couple times. I don't ever want to do it again, to tell you the truth. I'm too old for that stuff. But you come out of there right after the game or fairly close after the game, about 1 in the morning on Alaska time, and start that trek back. You get to Seattle, then you got to wait there for a while and go to Detroit. What time did you get back? And just describe that whole trip.
Yeah, well, like you said, post-game is so different. Usually you're kind of, you know, trying to rush out of everywhere and load the bus and get wherever. But there you got that red-eye flight. So after the game, you know, we had a long chat about the weekend and discussed what we did well and what we really need to get better at. And then we had a meal right at the rink. So you're just kind of killing time at the rink. We went to the airport, had lots of time. So like you mentioned, I think we had a 1:15 a.m. flight, Fairbanks time. So that's 5 a.m. our time. And, you know, you load up and you got a 3.5 hour flight down to Seattle. And most guys got a couple hours of sleep on that. Then we had a 2 hour layover in Seattle. And then you have your 4 hour flight to Detroit, and then you gotta unload your bags, whatever, jump in and, you know, jump on a bus. That's probably the hardest part. You know, your second flight, you're like, all right, we're home, but then hoy, we gotta jump on this last bus trip and drive 5 more hours. So we walked out of the rink about 11 p.m. last night, you know, once bags were unloaded and a quick chat about the week and the schedule. So 11 o'clock, we left the rink, unpacked our bags, and, certainly gave the guys a day off today. You know, I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about the games, but we played our top players big minutes up there and then some different scenarios happened. So, a much deserved day off in terms of, wear and tear on the body in this point of the season, and we'll get back at it tomorrow.
Yeah. And not only that, you get up there and it's very dark. It gets light for only a while during the day. So you're mostly in darkness when you're up there and very, very cold. I kept checking the temperatures in Fairbanks. It was minus 44 on Saturday afternoon. It was minus 36 on Friday afternoon. I mean, for us, we're kind of used to cold here in Sault Ste. Marie. It's about 10 degrees right now here. It was below zero this morning here, but hey, 36 and 44 degrees below zero is pretty cold.
A whole different level of cold, you know. And, you know, it's not that bad because you leave your hotel, you jump on the bus, you go to the rink, and you walk right in. So you're not out in it much. And sometimes it's, you know, you guys like to walk to the gas station or to a store and get some drinks and snacks for the room or whatever. So it doesn't affect you that much. You know, Coach Mitchell was out recruiting, but Coach Aubrey and I were talking. Our Thursday practice there, we were so surprised at how crisp and sharp we were after Wednesday off and a long travel day. Friday pregame skate, you know, again, fast, crisp, liked our puck touches. So we were feeling really good about it. And then that kind of goes to, show you how much a pregame skate can mean at times, because then Saturday we're a little bit sluggish, or Friday, a little bit sluggish coming out of the gates there, and we'll talk about the goal shortly again, but, you know, we were all right. We felt good. I think our players have good legs, good energy, and, I think, you try to defend from the mental fatigue with the time change and not do too much about that. But I think it's only natural when you're starting a game at 11 p.m. back home. You know, it's tough to be mentally sharp. And we certainly saw that early Friday and throughout the game Friday.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. Carlson Center is Olympic ice sheet. It's big place. They don't draw that well right now because a lot of their fans have kind of dropped off the bandwagon since they've been eliminated from any possible playoff this season by the NCAA and the WCHA for some rules infractions. But they're a good team. They've got some very good forwards. Tyler Morley's a very good hockey player. Colton Parayko's as good a defenseman and as big a kid as there is playing the game. And they're a lot to handle, really, and they're good on their home ice. They're better at home than they are away. And we did beat them once here in Sault Ste. Marie, got a split there, but they take both. But tough losses. 2-1 late in the game. They get an empty net goal on Friday night to make it 3-1. And then 2-1 on Saturday night. I got up Sunday morning, looked at that, and I just shook my head. How do we not score more than two goals on the weekend? But that's the way it's been.
Yeah, it is tough. And, the guys are okay. It's a tough loss, you said, but it's not overly demoralizing. You're right there. You're right there down to the wire. You mentioned Tyler Morley, and I think if you throw a kid like Tyler Morley on our team, it's a different story on the weekend. But he figured into both their goals on Friday, and that's the type of player he is. He's, top five scorer in our league. He's a great player. He's an impact player. And, we actually started well Friday. We had some pressures, some shifts in their zone. They came down, just threw a puck at our net from a bad angle, from really along the goal line. Gordy kind of tipped it up with a stick, kind of going across the crease. There's Tyler Morley going to the paint, going to the dirty areas. It hits right off the shaft of his stick and goes in our net. So it's really, nothing's going on, a non-dangerous situation. It's actually a 1-on-4 at that point. We had great numbers back and nothing going on, and they get a bounce and a break. Then their power play goal later that period, same thing. They threw a puck to the net from a bad angle, hit a defenseman skate, tipped up into their forward off his shin pad and in. So there's really nothing going on in non-dangerous situations, and now you're down 2-0. And the way we're playing, that's where you notice we lacked urgency. We lacked a second effort on Friday night due to some fatigue and, the mindset or whatever. But, it was really a nothing kind of opportunities or chances. And that was kind of the frustrating part. We weren't as bad as, after the first period, Friday night and after the game, I thought we were so bad and so outmatched, and you watch it back, take the emotion out. There's really nothing going on. They just get two bounces and two breaks that they make their own luck, and credit to Tyler Morley and the team that they are. But, it wasn't lopsided. It wasn't different. They got a couple breaks and bounces, and we didn't earn our puck luck.
Yeah, it's, those are tough losses, and it puts pressure on this team now. This weekend, Alabama Huntsville comes to town, a team we split with down in Huntsville back in November. We need two wins, and that's simple to say that, but it's going to be pretty tough. Carmine Guerrero is a great goaltender. He's as good a goalie as there is in the WCHA, and they'll be a tough team this weekend.
Yeah, well, no question. I mean, you mentioned Guerrero. He makes that team go for sure, and, the way we lack offensive outburst and the ability to change the game sometimes offensively, you put Guerrero in that as well. So it's a tough matchup. They're ready to play. They're as desperate and as hungry as we are. They're coming off, two really tough games at Michigan Tech. They were off this past weekend, but the weekend before. So they've got something to prove and show, and then we're battling for our playoff lives, and it's going to be, it's going to be a tough, hard fought series. And, but I like where we're at. We're so much better. I got some stats over the last 10 games, and we've taken so many steps in so many ways. And again, that's why the missed opportunity this past weekend. That's a team we can play with and beat. We showed that up in Fairbanks. We just couldn't get on the scoreboard to get over that hump.
Yeah, it's very frustrating too that you get the goals. You get two goals in two games, one each game, and they come from defensemen. James Roll got his first collegiate goal on Friday night. And then Eric Drapluck, who's been pretty solid for us all season offensively and defensively, scores the only goal on Saturday. That's pretty frustrating, too, because I watched some of the highlights from the series today and the video of it, and we had chances. We had lots of chances.
Well, that's a tough part. Saturday, the other thing we did is we won the special teams battle. And, again, talking about some of our numbers, we'll get into that. But, when you win special teams battle, you give yourself a good chance to win hockey games. And so, again, missed opportunity. But after Draplick's power play goal, we had a beautiful line rush entry, make a great pass to our dot lane guy. We don't even get a shot on net. So the ability to receive it and get a clean shot off, we weren't able to execute. And then with, I think, 10 seconds on the clock, we had puck possession and the goalie couldn't find the puck in a wide open short side. And again, we couldn't handle it and get a shot on net. So, you know, those are the missed opportunities we've talked about for a long time here. And, you know, we've got to do a better job as coaches of setting up scenarios to make our guys a little bit more desperate around the net and bearing down on those chances because they're there. But at some point we've got to cash in and take advantage of them.
Another real positive aspect of things, both Laker goals come on the power play. So that's looking up and it did come up a bit. It's still not very good. It's at about 8%. Penalty kill isn't really great either at about 75%, but, those are figures that are going to be awfully hard to change. We only have 6 games left in the regular season. Key now is to win some games. Gordy Dayfield continues to be our MVP. He's been just outstanding all season. And you got outshot in both these games this past weekend. And you never know about shots on goal because we've talked about that many times. It depends on who's counting them. But I think they had Alaska for 44 in one of the 2 games and 41 the other. That's a lot of shots to give up. And yet it's 2-1, 3-1 with an empty net. Gordy Dayfield's doing the job.
Yeah, and part of that was some of the penalties we took. You know, I can't remember, it was the third period on Friday. We spent the first 6 minutes killing it, you know, and then again, our top guys, Perfetto, Corey, Alice, Yali Schmidt, they kill a lot of minutes for us, so that was good. You know, you mentioned the power play and the penalty kill, Bill. Going back to our last 9 games, and this isn't a great number, but we're at 14%, so it's nearly double what we started the season with, so there's signs of life. There's some progress. There's some growth there. You know, again, not where we need it to be, but when you can double your average, you know, you're taking some steps. Penalty kill last 10 games were 82%. Last 7 games were 86%. So all of a sudden, you know, our special teams are much improved. You know, especially that penalty kill. I did a great job this weekend with the penalty kill, our guys, especially Saturday night. But, so things have gotten better. They're looking up. You know, the game average in that time frame is 1.9, and you know, you mentioned that 95 save percentage, or you mentioned Gordy Dayfield in the last 10 games of a 95 save percentage. So he's been a bright spot. You know, he's been good all year. Early on, you know, maybe he wasn't quite as sharp on a couple as he's kind of adjusting to college hockey. But boy, you know, since then and the job, you know, he's done to fine tune his game and for Coach Aubrey, the work he puts in with him and our other goaltenders, you mentioned, you know, it's an MVP type of season. He gives us a chance every night and he did it this weekend. You know, and you mentioned shot totals. He didn't have to be great. He certainly made a huge save on Tyler Morley late when it was a 1-goal game. To keep it close, but he didn't have to be great, but he's making the saves he's supposed to make, and he's done a good job of that. You know, again, I don't think we're giving up a ton of grade A's. We've done a much better job of limiting the grade A chances we're giving up. Still too many shots and not enough shots for, so we're continuing to try to improve on those numbers.
Yeah, good to see James Roll get his first collegiate goal. That had to be a big moment for the guys on the bench that night on Friday. That's his first goal as a collegiate player, and he's like fourth on this team, I think, if not third in scoring.
Yeah, third or fourth right up there. I know 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think he was the leading freshman defenseman. A guy or two have passed him since then, but you know, he's right up there among the top defensemen in conference scoring and doing a good job. You know, we've talked about a lot. You ask a lot. You know, you go play Bowling Green, and Fairbanks was very aggressive. Tyler Morley is a phenomenal penalty killer, along with being a great player, and they really pressure you. You know, just like Bowling Green did. So you're asking this freshman to come in, and you know, it's late in the year now, so he's made that adjustment. But you put a lot on his plate. So Jimmy's done a good job, and you know, we still need more from him and other guys in those positions, but there's been slight progress. It's just not as quick and as much as we'd like.
Did a good job, too, getting everybody in. It's tough to take kids up to Alaska and then not have them play, but Pete Spratty got in the lineup playing defense. He was inserted there for Jason Bird on Saturday night, and Jason Angus made the trip, went back to where he played junior hockey. He got into the game on Saturday night as well. Daniel Vernacci, who played Friday, sat out, but always tough to have guys get in the lineup, but I know you've been real big on wanting to get more people involved, and you did this past weekend.
Yeah, well, I don't know about wanting, but I'm wanting competition and wanting guys to earn it. You know, Jason Angus has done that. I thought he's had a couple of really good weeks of practice. I just don't think anybody's slipped in their game on the ice either, so it's been tough to find him a spot to get him in. I was kind of upset with myself after Bemidji State. Even though we won Friday, I thought, you know, in hindsight, I should have put some guys in because they've had good practices and earned it. You kind of really enhance the competition. If you can make changes after a win and do that, you really send a good message. And obviously, we won Saturday night as well, so maybe it was the right play. But, you know, it wasn't so much the guys who came out, their play. It was the guys that earned it. I thought both those guys went in and did a great job. I mean, You know, it's going to be a fun week of practice because I anticipate Jason keeping that spot in the lineup and Spratty as well. I thought Spratty went in and did a really good job in a couple areas we want to clean up with him. But for his first game in quite a while, skated really well, handled pressure well, and added a real good element to our team.
All right, very good. We're going to take a break here in the Laker Hockey Show. I want to remind everybody that the fourth annual Whiteout Weekend is coming up this weekend. And the Lakers are asking everybody to wear white this Friday and Saturday, and that's to support the White Ribbon Campaign against sexual violence against women in Chippewa County. Encouraged to wear white this weekend. So keep that in mind on Friday and Saturday nights, and we'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Back to the Antlers Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
Okay, we're back at the Antlers. Chris Abel not here. I haven't seen Kathy tonight either. We get one of those two on. I was hoping the mayor would be here, Tony Bospas, to talk about the big deal coming up tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 down at Puller Stadium. It's all part of that Craft Hockeyville effort by the Sault Ste. Marie people to try to win that award for this year, and they want to fill up Puller Stadium evidently and get as many hockey fans and players and people in there as they can for a photo shoot. The photo shoot actually occurs at about closer to 6, but they want people there to set up by 5:30. So if you can do that tomorrow, they'd love to have you down there. And I know the Lakers can't go down there. I guess the coaching staff probably could, and maybe we could get Prouche and McKelvey.
Yeah, and I'm still people waiting for an interpretation on that because, you know, we'd be on the ice with prospects. So I got to double check on that. I'm hoping we can make it. I mean, I think it's an unbelievable event to be if we can land that Hockeyville and you get an exhibition, NHL exhibition game in your city. So it would just be an amazing, and we all know what a great hockey city it is. So hopefully we'll have a good turnout and put a good bid in.
All right, that's all coming up tomorrow. It's at 5:30 at Puller Stadium. And I want to remind everybody, the Blue Liners have tickets available for the games coming up at Northern Michigan University. That's the second last series of the season, the last away series, which is going to be something to celebrate in itself. February 27th and 28th, we're at Northern Michigan. They need to sell at least 20 tickets in advance to get them at the $10 price. And they've sold 13 so far, so they don't need too many. So if you're listening in and you want to go over to Northern Michigan, you can take advantage of that. Call Chris Lettergerber tonight. She's in the phone book, and we can probably get that number for you and put it on a little bit later in the show tonight. But that'll be a huge series, too, going over to Northern. And you kind of like the idea here that you're going to play at home this weekend. You got Huntsville, the team you're in a fight for the playoffs with. You got them on your ice now. Then you get a weekend off, maybe recover from whatever. Or do you, would you rather keep playing and then you go to Northern and then you come home against Ferris to finish it off? What do you think on that schedule?
Well, can't wait to have home games. I mean, there just have not been enough this year and they've been too few and far in between. And, you know, so we're looking forward to it. There's a lot of great things going on this weekend with, you know, a great job by our staff and putting together some promos and some things we're going to talk about here shortly that I think people will be really excited about. And so we're excited to get home. I think probably the bye week off of Fairbanks will be best, and then we can kind of ramp up for three straight weeks. But it's not a bad time, but just to have two that close together is probably not perfectly ideal. But I like that we've got some home games and against some teams we're fighting for playoff position.
Now, I know these kids on this team, they've got great attitudes. You got a lot of young people, freshmen in your lineup all the time, so they're pretty enthusiastic. But what's the mood of this team right now? It's very tough to go all the way up to Alaska, lose two tough games like that. It just takes a lot out of you. How do you, as a coaching staff at this point in the season, keep things interesting, keep it upbeat, up-tempo? Do you have to change up a lot of things? Or how do you keep from doing the same thing every day in preparation?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the dog days. I mean, you leave the rink and it's cold and dark. So we put a lot of time and thought into that. And we've made some tweaks to our schedule. Like I said, today's a day off, obviously. We're just recently cut back from two lifts a week to one lift a week. Just, you know, you're at this point, you're maintaining your strength and, kind of trying to make sure we're peaking conditionally and physically for those Friday, Saturday tilts. So there's a lot of different things we're trying to do with that bye week. Next week, we'll get really creative and, you know, try to add in some team bonding, things like that. I think our guys are in a good state, you know, in that room. You know, some of the stats we just talked about, and our players know how much growth we've had as a team and, you know, going into the areas, you know, the Mankato. We talked about some of these stats and our goals against, our power play, our penalty kill. I mean, that includes sixth-ranked Bowling Green, top-ranked Mankato, a Bemidji team that's absolutely streaking right now. So the growth we've we've shown and had, our guys know it. Now, it doesn't mean we're not frustrated, upset about the Fairbanks weekend, but we know we're a much better team. We know we really have a chance any night, anybody we play. So, again, disappointed, yes, but I think we're in a good place, and we're trying to peak to play our best hockey moving over these next couple of weeks in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's tough too. You look at the Lakers look to me, if you look at all the stats and the shots on goal, and they have been better in the second half by far. Those are the stats you've got here tonight, Damon. But overall for the whole season, they haven't really changed all that much because it was so bad in the first half. I think other teams are looking at us now, and I think that's probably what Fairbanks or what Alaska did this past weekend. They know that if they stay really, really patient and skate hard on their home ice, and they got the big ice up there, they're going to get more chances in the long run than the Lakers are, because the Lakers are not a team that creates a lot of offense. So they can afford to be very, very patient, and I don't know if that's how they play, but it seems to me if I were going up against the Lakers right now, that's what I would preach if I were the head coach.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's certainly the way Northern will play. You know, Northern Michigan and their style play very well, and but, you know, I don't know. I mean, we go through some of these weekends, again, the Bemidji weekend, you know, probably not Mankato because those penalties are one night. But I, you know, watching games back this weekend, grade A scoring chances are pretty even. You know, the shot total certainly is skewed one way. And, you know, part of that's the way Fairbanks skates. We don't skate as well as they do right now. And that puts some stress on us and takes away some of the chances that we should get or should generate. But you go through the games and you look at the grade A scoring chances. Most games recently we've been on top. You know, I don't think we won either night this weekend in terms of grade A chances, but it's not lopsided like the score shot, the shot clock or anything like that. So I don't know if I totally agree with that statement, but certainly, you know, you look at our offensive output and you know, you get an early goal or two and teams are going to feel pretty good about where they're at. So our ability to come back, I don't think we've won a game all year long that we've not got the first goal in, and that's an alarming stat and something we need to change over these last few weeks.
Yeah, and when we do get the first goal, we play a heck of a lot better than when we fall behind. We're a very tough team to get going offensively. When you get behind, you've got a big problem trying to make a comeback. Now, this weekend, Huntsville's in here. Huntsville's 2 points ahead of the Lakers in the standings, has played two less games, and they're going to catch up to us on that weekend following when we're off. I think that's the 21st and or the 20th and 21st of the month. But what kind of team are they, other than we've talked about Carmine Guerrero here? He's a very good goaltender, but we played them down there. We beat them. They beat us. Could have gone either way down at Huntsville, but what kind of team are they?
I think the games played are even, aren't they, Bill, because they came off their bye week this week? I think we evened out. We'll have to double check, but I thought
they got checked the standings today. They
okay.
got two on.
Two in hand, okay. So, yeah, Guerrero makes their team tick for sure. They're a hard-nosed, aggressive, competitive team. I mean, they play hard. They give it all. They're a little bit young, you know, because of their rebuild and Coach Corbett in his second year as well. But they come high at your heart. I mean, they don't give you an inch of ice. They're a very competitive team. They battle. They've got Max McHugh, the freshman, playing hard for them. And, you know, they don't give you an inch out there. And you got to be ready to respect that and match that. And we're certainly not in a space where we can take anybody for granted. But, you know, they're similar in that they're offensively challenged for us. I think goals for in the league total, and we might be up one or two on them, but, you know, the games in hand might have a little effect on that as well.
And if I remember right, they've got some very big people up front.
Yeah, a couple big players for sure. They got a couple big D as well. So it's a game you have to fight every inch and scrape and claw and, you know, find a way to get to the net. Obviously, you have to have second-chance opportunities around Guerrero and take his eyes away, because he's just too good if you let him see any puck. So to me, that's the key. And I was concerned going up to the Olympic sheet, you know, we've got to find ways to take pucks to the net, not be content to cycle on the outside. I'm glad we're back to an NHL sheet with a better team on the NHL sheet. And hopefully that allows us to get back to a little bit more traffic and bodies to the net.
Yeah, just checking Huntsville the rest of the season. They are here this weekend. Then they play at home against Ferris State in 2 weeks. Then they go up to they have Fairbanks at their place. University of Alaska goes to their place in 3 weeks. And then they're at Bowling Green to finish off the season, where the Lakers have Huntsville this weekend, then go to Northern late this month, and then have Ferris State in the first weekend in March, and we're off that one weekend. So they do have four series left. Lakers have three. Six games left in the regular season. This has been a... You know, we haven't had a great season necessarily, but it's been pretty good in the second half, but it's gone by in a heck of a hurry.
Yeah, the second half. Well, the season's flown by for sure, like you said. And we've talked to our team a lot. You know, 2 months ago, going into the Bowling Green or going down to Mankato or even up to Fairbanks, I'm not sure we could have sat in that room and told our team, like, hey, we can go into Bowling Green and beat the number four team in the country or sixth or whatever at the time. But 2-3 weeks ago, we went to Bowling Green. We knew we could go in there and win that hockey game. So it's been tremendous growth. And, you know, we've credited the seniors and the captains quite a bit on that. They've done a good job. And, you know, really our whole team to really stick with things and to get better and you know, hopefully listen to us a little bit and take what we're preaching to get better on a day-by-day basis, our puck touches, our passing, the way we play, the pace we play with. So there's been tremendous growth. And, you know, it certainly is not the type of year anybody dreams about or wants to live through. But the growth we've seen has been very positive, very healthy for us. And, again, we feel like our best hockey's in front of us. And we're excited to get these games going and fight for that playoff spot and, you know, see what that matchup is in the playoffs. Because, again, we believe we can go anywhere and win some hockey games.
Yeah, I think this could be a tough playoff team, too, because when it comes down to two-game series or a best-of-three series, it could get very interesting. I don't think anybody wants to play against Lake Superior State, even on their ice. I want to remind everybody also, besides the whiteout this weekend, we're asked to wear white both games, supporting the White Ribbon Campaign Against Sexual Violence Against Women. The softball team is going to be having, and the Alumni Association, they're getting together and conducting their Endless Pasta Bar this Saturday between 5 and 7. It'll be in the Student Activity Center right behind the Norris Center. You can go there, have a great meal. It'll cost you $8. All the money goes to help out the program. And they'll be having pasta, meatballs, breadsticks, a dessert, everything for $8. That's not too bad. That's one of the things that we were going to hit on here tonight. The other one we'll hold for the second half because we don't want Roy Forrest to get too excited about that. But we'll bring that one up late in the show here tonight. And we're going to take our break here. We'll come back. We've got some questions from fans. We do not have a player tonight. The players are either in class or we've had them all on who are available, and they need the break anyway. So we're giving the players the night off, and Damon and I will be right back with more of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
So,
Restaurant as the Laker Hockey Show continues with your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All righty, back at the Antlers for the third segment of our show here tonight. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We've got a number of good fans, as always, with us here tonight. We're going to get into their questions. We have four of them here tonight. I want to remind everybody about the Blue Liners having tickets available to the Northern Michigan series. That's on the 27th and 28th of this month, right at the end of the month up at Northern Michigan. You can get those tickets for $10 each for each game. The two games there, they've sold 13 packages so far. And we do have Chris Lettergerber's phone number now if you want to give her a call after the show tonight to, like, give her a while to get home. But she'll get back to you, 248-5732. That's 248-5732. Into the questions from our fans who are with us tonight at the Antlers. Travel takes a toll on the team, the staff. What does next season's schedule look like?
Great question. I want to back up one sec just before we went off the air to the commercial break. Bill mentioned Roy's health out here in the audience tonight. But people listening on the radio, make sure you tune in. We've got a big announcement here coming up about some exciting news for our home game. So everybody around here, keep an eye on Roy when that comes out. But don't get away from your radios here later on. But next year's schedule is coming together nicely. I think we got a real good mix of games. You know, I think we've talked about bits and pieces of it over the course of the season, and well, the release this summer will be out a little bit earlier through some of the coaching transition. It was a little bit of a late release, but you know, it's pretty much nailed down. We got maybe one last series we got to work out and agree on, but I think fans will like it. We've got more home games, probably not as many as anybody would like, but it is a little bit better home slate next year, which is positive. And I think we only have one bye week late in the year, which I think is a little bit better as you're trying to peak and go up. And that's the other part. People, you know, they want games. But the way our travel stacks up here, and I've talked to Walt Kyle quite a bit over at Northern and Mel Pearson over at Michigan Tech, you know, it's tough on the kid's body. I mean, you got to be careful of how much you're traveling and where you're going to some of these games and events. So that's something we want to keep in mind, you know, as we move forward. Walt and I have kind of talked and made an agreement. Any year – that we don't play each other four times in WCHA games, we're probably going to have two non-conference games with Northern Michigan, just because of the fact, you know, to go out east or to go out west or wherever you're going to go is just very, very difficult if you do that all season long. So we'll probably do like, you know, a home and home type series or something like that for non-conference games. Maybe not ideal, but again, just, you know, to be ready for playoff hockey and to have your guys rested at some point is something we think is both very important. Mel wants to do the same thing. If there's a year with Michigan Tech, we'll probably end up doing the same thing.
Well, that year would have been this year, too. Well, it would have been with Tech. It wouldn't have been with Northern Michigan. But that's a good idea because they are rivalries there. They're big rivals to Lake Superior. Plus, they're not that far away. I mean, when you look at our travel schedule, going 5 hours over to Tech or going three to Northern Michigan is that's no big deal.
And you mentioned the UP rivalry. I mean, it's great to have those teams in our building and our fans can travel and be with us in those easier trips. So, it's something we all thought of. We've talked about trying to revise, I think it was the old Ramada Cup maybe, or, you know, try to look at something once again and making a little bit more at stake in a little UP champion, a Superior Cup or something like that. So.
Yeah, we did have that for a number of years and, it was mostly Walt who wanted to, and actually it was, Minnesota Duluth that wanted to get out of that. We had Duluth, Tech, Northern and Lake Superior in that. Walt wasn't real fond of it, but he always played it. But it was Duluth that didn't want to do it anymore, and they kind of put the end to it.
Yeah. So we've talked about revising that in some shape or form. That just puts a little more heat in the rivalry when you can play for a championship and put your name on something. And so, you know, a little more heat with Northern and Michigan Tech is always a good thing.
All right. To finish off this question on travel for next year or on scheduling at least, are we traveling to Alaska twice again next season on separate trips? Why don't we get in there like Ferris State does and Michigan Tech does, go up there, play one of them one weekend and the other one the next weekend and just stay up there?
Yeah, I haven't looked at it in a while. I think we do have another double trip next year, which, you know, just physically, financially is – you know, not fun to absorb anyway. So we just got requests out for 17-18 season. We are going to try to put a request in to make sure 17-18 we have a 10-day trip up there over Thanksgiving or one of the holiday breaks. So hopefully we can kind of break that cycle and do it that way, or even better, maybe just have one trip to Alaska at some point here. So we're working on it, and I don't know, you know, the league office also had a lot of transition as well, so they may not know that, you know, we've done this 2-3 years in a row, but we're certainly pointing that out, that, you know, this isn't right and we want to fix this.
Okay, another question about Alaska. One of the two teams up there, either Anchorage or the University of Alaska, cannot be in the playoffs this season. And this fan is asking, if that's true, why can't they be in the playoffs? I think we've talked about that several times.
Yeah, we did when it came out. Fairbanks had some NCAA violations, and part of their reporting and penalties are to be you know, banned from the playoffs this year. So Fairbanks is out.
Yeah, they're out both NCAA-wise and WCHA. So that team will not be in postseason play no matter where it finishes in the standings. And they've been doing a pretty good job. They've been playing just for this season, and they've won some big games. So, you know, hats off to those kids for trying to keep things going up there in Fairbanks. Season, it seems like we've been being outshot a lot this season. In most of our games, we get outshot. I think I have some stats on that for the season now, not since the win down in Florida, because things have improved since then. But the shots on goal average for the season now, 24.4 per game for the Lakers and 35.8 per game for our opponents against us. To me, that's just more fodder for Gordy Dayfield to be an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not ideal. I mean, I'm a big believer that, you know, to outgrade a team, you want to outshoot a team, you know. So I hope in time we'll flip that around and change that. You know, you got to look at playing four or five freshman D early on, and, you know, lack of upperclassmen at some time. So there's some reasons for that, but it's certainly not by plan, and it won't be the case moving forward. I mean, we'll get that flipped, and like you said, since Christmas, once again, it's an area we've gotten better at. We haven't closed the gap, and we're nowhere close to where I like to be, so you know, we'll keep getting better at that and keep working on it.
Yeah, we you know, last season we had an awful lot of defensemen on this team who were experienced, and I think sometimes people forget that just going out the door last year were Brunito and Perot and Churchman, and those were very, very good CCHA and WCHA defensemen, and we've had to come in here with a whole lot of new guys this year, and it's tough. It takes them half the season to acclimate to the game at this level, and then everybody else gets better too, so you got to really step it up to be effective.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, looking back, I think it was a similar issue last year. I think the shot totals were – were, you know, lopsided one way or the other. So it's something, you know, it's, you don't fix it overnight. And, but, we'll get there. We'll get there. And like you said, I don't know how many minutes Churchman played last, year, but I, had he not signed, you definitely, you get Draplett back, Churchman back, and Spratty and Lesh, and your D-core is shaped much differently. But that's our situation we're in, and, we've got to keep climbing it better. It's gotten better, but it's not where we want it to be.
Is it really a good thing that Gordy Dayfield's one of the national leaders in saves every game? Well, you know, that's a double-edged one there. Yeah, if he weren't, we'd be in really big trouble, but you don't want to allow that many shots on goal, and that's certainly a goal to try to cut that down.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a great thing. You know, like I said, if we didn't have Gordy playing the way he did, then, you know, we wouldn't be trending the way we're trending, and we've helped him. We've done a better job. And once again, you know, they're not true freshman defensemen, but it doesn't matter. I mean, jumping into college hockey, defense is the hardest position to play and make that adjustment. And, you know, I think you see that most of these guys have done it at this point. They might not be perfect every night, but they've made big strides in their games, and that's helping. But, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why. And, you know, and that's not where we want to be, and I don't think moving forward in future years that we'll be in that situation.
Now, you mentioned previously on the show tonight that Rich Mitro was doing some recruiting work this past weekend. Pete Aubrey was with you coaching up in Alaska. What are we doing recruiting-wise at this point? Are we looking to futures now, or is there hoping maybe you'll find this magic goal scorer somewhere that we could bring in next year?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, like I said, you're always looking. You know, there was you know, this time of year gets a little crazy too, because a lot of teams who have over recruited and you know don't have enough spots for guys, or you know some of these kids start becoming available. So there's some news out on that front across college hockey of some guys becoming available. So yeah, we're always looking, and Rich was out mostly watching younger kids, but he did check off a couple older guys as well. You know, there's some showcase events coming up that we'll be in attendance at as well. So, you know, obviously you're looking at the power play. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. We would like to address that. But at this point in the recruiting season for a defenseman for next year to come in and help you on the power play, an elite guy, you know, he's been committed for 2 or 3 years out at this point. So, but that might be where, you know, somebody decommits or something opens up or something like that. So there's still needs that we have to address and fill, and, you know, we'll continue to look for right up, you know, through the summer, really.
Sure, there's always that. I mean, Gordy Dayfield came in here late, and he's been outstanding, and we've had that happen before. Jeff Jakaitis comes to mind, came in August, and certainly was a tremendous goaltender for us for 4 years here. You never know what's going to happen, and, you know, maybe there's a defenseman out there who hasn't been recruited who could handle that power play duty, and nobody's found him yet, and you got to beat the bushes pretty hard to come up with that, but it can be done. We're looking ahead to next season, too. Obviously, this is a team that struggles to find offense. Are there players coming in for next year that will be in the freshman class that may be considered as goal scorers?
Well, we think so. I mean, that was certainly, you know, even just style of play and the way we want to play and build our lineup. You know, I think one of the really great things Mel taught me, the way we constructed that team up there and Mel brought from Michigan for years and years, is he liked skill all throughout his lineup. They didn't have, you know, two top lines, a first, second line, and then a third, fourth checking line at Michigan. And you know, at Michigan Tech, that's able to rebuild a little bit. And you hopefully that success they've had there is our model. So we want skill throughout our lineup. I'm going to be careful on names because off the top of my head, I don't know who's all signed and who hasn't signed. But, you know, if you go through our commitment list, you'll find, you know, some of them and a lot of them leading their teams in scoring, and then some of them in the top two or three in their leagues, top 10 in their leagues. Again, a lot of these guys are right at the top of their teams for sure. So it's certainly an area that we feel like we can address and get better at. And, you know, back in junior hockey is one thing. Now they've got to be prepared, have a great summer, come in and earn their role and earn their opportunity next fall. But, yeah, we like some of the skill. We're adding some of the stick skills and power play skills that are coming in.
Okay, we're going to take our last break on the show tonight. We'll be back with more from the Antlers on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
ESPN 1400.
Okay, into our final segment of the show tonight, Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten, the Laker Hockey Show, live from the Antlers Restaurant here on East Portage Avenue. And we want to thank the Antlers for playing host to this show the last couple of seasons. It's been a great place to have this program, and we enjoy it, and I think the fans enjoy it. We've got a lot of people out again tonight. And we thank the Blue Liners and the fans who are out here tonight to join us and listen to this show live. We got a big announcement we'll make here in a few minutes. We're going to wait on that for a second. I want to ask you about, I want to talk a little bit about one of the new teams coming in, the only new team coming into Division One. I think it's next year they come in. I don't know how many people read Sports Illustrated, but there's a great article at the back of the latest edition of Sports Illustrated. It's written by a guy named Lee Jenkins, and he talks all about Arizona State coming into Division One of college hockey. And the whole thing, he does it tongue-in-cheek. It's actually kind of funny. But he has a point in there where he's talking about, hey, who wouldn't want to play in the sunshine of Arizona State, where they have 76,000 students, more than half of which are gorgeous women? Why would any hockey player in Saskatchewan choose to play in Michigan's Upper Peninsula when he could play in Phoenix, Arizona? He actually puts that in the story. I thought it was hilarious. I read through the whole thing yesterday, but, you know, that's a big deal. Arizona State's going to come in, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of argument about what league they'll be in. Geographically, it probably makes more sense for them to be in the National Collegiate Hockey Conference, but I can't believe the Big Ten's going to pass by an opportunity to grab that big team and bring them in where the TV revenue is. And they're going to be good. They're going to be good right out of the gate, but they're going to really be good within 2-3 years.
Yeah, they should. I mean, they've got a lot of, those reasons alone. You know, it's a big, big school that has national exposure and, you know, big time athletics to support it and run it right. I know there's some facility stuff they've got to figure out and work on there, but they'll have some good advantages. And, you know, like you mentioned, to fly a kid in from Edmonton in January down to that campus, and, you know, you've got a lot to sell that way. So, but it's good. The growth of college hockey, we're certainly a niche sport and rooted in, certain areas, but I think growth is good. And, there's a lot of talk about who jumps in with them as well. So I think the landscape, you know, certainly has potential to continue to change and evolve over the next few years. So we'll see what the next domino is.
Yeah, and Arizona State, that's a big player coming into college hockey. That'll be the 60th team playing D1 hockey starting next season. We're at that point in the season where we start looking ahead a little bit, and we get some things we want to talk about here in our final minutes of the show tonight, Damon. But senior night's a real big deal here at Lake Superior State. We do it up bigger probably than anybody does it. It's a post-game thing on Saturday night. That will happen on March the 7th after we play Ferris State. And we got three kids who are going to say goodbye to this program. This has been a whirlwind for them this last season. But Stephen Perfetto, along with Chris Ciotti, who's one of our few plus players right now on this roster, and our captain, Andrew Domin, who's been such a great leader, not just this year, but to me, he's been a great leader his entire time here. He's just an outstanding young man. And those three guys are going to leave this program, and it's coming right up.
Yeah, and then they're going to be big losses. I mean, they've done a great job. They talked a lot about the leadership they provided for us and then what they bring to us on the ice. So, for me, I wish I had them more than 1 year. I've been, really impressed with them as young men. And then as I've gotten to know them, it's been a great year with them. So it's too bad we won't have longer. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the support from our fans and everybody to celebrate what they've meant to Laker hockey and what they mean to this community. So it's a hard night, but it'll be a nice way to send them off on a positive note.
Yeah, it'd be great if they could do some scoring that last weekend. You know, Ferris State is not that far ahead of Lake Superior State in the standings right now. That's why you look back this past weekend and not picking up a couple of points there against Alaska really hurts, because we would have inched right up where we'd have been in great position.
Yeah, we're in striking distance of a lot of teams, you know, but we've got to continue with this good play and win those hockey games. You know, enough of the one-goal games, we're playing just well enough to lose. We got to get over that hump there, and I think we can. You know, I think we can with the way we're built, to be rock solid defensively, to get good goaltending, and, we've got to continue that balanced scoring. It was great when the Nardi line, Globke, Nardi, Vernacci were chipping in and then adding a secondary support role or even more with Al and what they were. So we've got to get those guys clicking again and just make sure we're scoring by committee.
Yeah, they've kind of fallen off the last few games, and they were coming on pretty good too, and it'd be great to see that. But Mitch kind of got – he had some troubles there at Bowling Green when he got knocked out of the game, and that line really hasn't been the same since that.
Yeah. So we got to – We talked a lot. Do we juggle anything this weekend? I think you'll see some pretty similar line combinations, and then that bye week. I think we're really going to try to shake things up a little bit and give them a day or two in practice to see if they gel or if anything kind of works that way. It's probably a good week to look at some tweaks and then, you know, got to make some tough decisions because you're right in the home stretch. And, you know, again, we got to be peaking for where we want to go and getting those playoffs.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys who are working hard to try to get back in the lineup too. And we last week we sat here at this time slot and we talked about how well Ian Miller played in the blue white game. And I thought he played really well. He had a goal. He was flying around out there and, he's struggling to get in the lineup. He just can't beat somebody out.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, you come back from a major illness like that, you know, you never quite get back into game shape. And, you know, we have obviously the benefit of seeing him every day in practice, and you see the game shape and the game condition. When he's got to win foot races against guys who have played every game or, you know, are just a little bit sharper, crisper. So that's a big hurdle to overcome, a long layoff like that. But he's been good, and we like some of the things he does. And, you know, we've got other guys who have played. You know, Scott Patterson's been back, and he had some real good weekends the first half. Lesh is looking hard to get back into it. So, you know, it was good. And I thought Lesh would probably travel to Fairbanks because of his skating on the big sheet. And you know, some guys we felt like maybe earned it a little bit more. So we want to get him back in the mix and keep guys involved.
Yeah, Lesh would be a good candidate this weekend. This is a pretty big team that Huntsville brings in here. And it struggles to score. And Zach could be a guy who could do some good things along the wall for you against a team like Huntsville. We'll see what happens this Friday night. The Lakers will be taking on Alabama Huntsville here. Just got word, too, from Carol Boger that there will be a pizza and pop cash bar type thing after the game on Saturday night against Huntsville. That'll be a Blue Liner post game. If you're a Blue Liner, I guess that's free, or is it $5? No, it's $5 for everybody after the game to cover the cost of the pizza. And everybody's welcome there. You don't have to be a Blue Liner. You have to be a hockey fan, a Laker fan. And you can join us after the game on Saturday night. And the other big announcement we want to make, it's been a rumor all season, but the Lakers are going to try an experiment here. And Damon, I'll let you talk about it at this point.
Well, I got two I want to jump in first. Any students listening or Laker employees, Thursday we're going to be set up over at the QD just promoting the games for the weekend. More so for our students, but we're going to have some good social media giveaways. We got to come up with the best content so far, but some student group or our most entertaining or best dressed student on Friday night is going to get a chance to win the alumni lounge for eight friends, and have a little pizza party up in the alumni lounge on Saturday. So we want to get our students out there. So, but if you're around the QD, on campus on Thursday, stop by and say hello. We'll also have some little giveaways down there as well. So a chance to win some giveaways. Lastly though, starting this Friday night, beer sales will be a go at Taffy Able. So you can come down to the hockey game and enjoy a pop or two and take it in that way. One of the things they want everybody to know is when you arrive at the game, if you are going to indulge in a beer or two, there's going to be a wristband you have to get beforehand. So don't go wait in line in the beer aisle. You got to go to a different part of their arena, put a wristband on, then go line up for your beer. I believe you're only allowed one beer per trip, so that'll kind of help us control some of that as we work through these opening weekends of beer being sold at Taffy Able Arena.
So it's going to be an experiment. It'll be this weekend against Huntsville, and then the final weekend of the series, March 6th and 7th, the season rather, against Ferris State, and that'll be they'll determine whether they want to go on with that in the future by what happens these two weekends. But hey, you know, it's 2015, and I guess that's the way we're going to go, trying to make some extra money for Laker hockey.
Well, I don't know if it's just that. You know, I think Dr. Plager, when he came in, he was good. He's from Wisconsin. He said, you know, sporting events, they go together sometimes, and obviously there's got to be a responsibility from our fans and our students, and we'll have measures in place to take care of that. But, you know, I know some of my, as a player, you know, going down to Joe Louis and playing in some of those events, you know, my family came, and, you know, that those are the games they really remember. They will have a couple beers together as family and watch everything like that and then enjoy the games afterwards. So I think it's exciting. I think it's good for our fans. You know, hockey and beer seem to go together for whatever reason. And I think, should be a healthy, positive experience, and if not, we'll have to put some other safeguards in place, but we'll have the proper things in place to make sure it's a healthy environment.
Okay, this weekend, don't forget the 4th annual Whiteout this weekend. Wear white, that's to support the White Ribbon Campaign Against Sexual Violence Against Women, and the softball team's going to have its pasta bar going 5 till 7 on Saturday, and there will be a post game on Saturday over at the Sisler Center for $5. You can get it on pizza and some soft drinks, etc. there. They'll have a cash bar as well. That's sponsored by the Blue Liners. So lots of stuff going on. Damon, good luck this weekend. Alabama Huntsville will be a load, but hey, if we could pick up a couple of victories, we'd be in a great position looking for a playoff spot.
Well, it's critical weekend. So, you know, everybody listening, you know, lots of reasons to come down to the game this weekend, some great events to support and, you know, some tasty beverages as well. So a lot of reasons to come down and to be loud and support this team. We're a much better team than we were 2-3 months ago, and we're still going somewhere. So we need our fans out there. We appreciate their support and looking forward to a good weekend.
All righty. That takes care of another Laker hockey show. Thanks to the fans for being here tonight. For Jim DeSano back at the Station Engineering, Mark Sinangelo here at the Antlers, Bill Crawford for Damon Witten saying so long till next Monday night on the Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.